Do you love the church? And by the church, I mean the people of God. Not the building, but the people. Today, it seems that there are many people, you ask them that question, do you love church or love the church? And they say, well, I don't like organized religion. You ever heard people say that these days? And they say, oh, I like Jesus. And I'm okay with Jesus, but I'm not into that organized religion or that church thing. You hear people say that these days? And yeah, some of you are shaking your head. Yeah, you've heard that. It's because somewhere along the line, maybe when people grew up, when they were a child, they had some kind of bad experience, maybe with church in the past. Or someone may have said something to them, and it put the dislike for the, quote, church in their minds. Or some people today have this feeling, they say, well, I don't really need to go to church to worship God. After all, I can worship God by myself out along the stream in nature somewhere. Anybody ever say that to you? You know, I don't really need the church. I can be by myself and worship God. Well, we can. But God loved the church and God established the church. On a recent survey that was done by Barna, who was a Christian survey, he does surveys to get the pulse of what people in the country are thinking on religious and Christian matters. And a survey that was done recently, he found out that the majority of adults in the United States basically believe that there are alternatives to the church and that you don't really need to come or to be a part of a church. In fact, among them, he said, engaging with faith activities in home with one's family is acceptable by 89% of people. 89% of adults say, I can just have some kind of activity with my family at home and I don't need to go to church. That's okay. Another 69% of people said watching a religious TV program is enough. That's all I need to do is just watch a religious program on TV and that takes care of it. Or 68%, equal with that, said listening to a religious radio broadcast is fine, and that's all I need. That's my church for me. And 68%, the same amount, said attending a concert or a community service project is my church. That's all I need to do. That's good enough. And 45% said, well, if I watch church on the internet, I can stay home and watch it on the internet. And, you know, there's some churches that do that. And they said, that's my church, and I'm okay with that. And 45% of people said they're fine with that. But is that really what God intends? We need the church, don't we? Yes, we can worship alone. Those other things are good. Christian radio is good, and Christian TV is good, and all those things, we are blessed from them, and we're blessed from the teaching of many that we hear. But that's not a substitute for gathering together with God's people. Because we need that fellowship of one another. The scripture says, don't neglect the assembling of yourself. Jesus loves the church. Do you believe that? Jesus loved the church so much that he died for it. And Paul loved the church. And as he was writing this letter back to the Thessalonians, his heart longed to be with them. And we get to this portion, we get to one of the most personal parts of Paul's writing and of his letter, as he's sharing his heart back to the Thessalonians under God's direction of the Spirit, sharing how he felt towards them and his longing to be with them. And Paul loved the church and the people of God. And he loved the people of Thessalonica, and his heart broke for them that he had to leave them so quickly. He wished he had more time that he could have spent with them to teach them more. There was more that he wanted to instruct them in the faith to go, but he had to flee because of the persecution. Now, receiving the word back from Timothy, he's writing back his word and his love for them. And Jesus' love for the church was seen in his establishing it. Paul's love for the church for us is here. And God calls us as well to love the church. And I asked that again, that question this morning, do you love the church? And if someone said, well, and you said, yes, someone say, well, why? What is it about the church that you love? What's so important to you? Well, by the end of this message this morning, hope that you can find an answer to that question. because Paul shares with us why he loved the church so much, why he gave himself for it. Paul was devoted to the church, as you know, in his missionary journeys and all that he went to establish, and he gave himself for the church, and he loved it dearly. And so did Jesus. But why was it so important to him? Why do we love the church? We're going to discover three reasons. Why do you love coming to Reich's Church? And I put the picture of the church here, and we all know that that's not the church. The church is us, right? And as I was putting this together this week, I wanted so much for these points to have pictures of all of you up here. But you know, I didn't have pictures of all of you. I had pictures of some of you, but I wanted everybody, and I didn't want to single anybody out. So I just put that there representing all of us. But why is Reich's Church important to us? Why do you love coming here? Does Jesus love the church? We're going to discover three reasons this morning. The first one is this. Paul said, reason why we love the church so much is because we bring joy to each other. There's a joy that comes whenever we as a church meet. There should be. We should love being together. Notice what he said in verses 17 through 20 as we review that again on chapter 2. He said, but brothers, when we were torn away from you for a short time, though not in person, out of intense longing, we made it our effort to see you, for we wanted to come to you. Paul said, certainly I did, again and again. And Paul is sharing his heart. He said, oh, I long to be with you, and I enjoy being with you, and you bring joy to me. And when Paul thought of the Thessalonians, his heart was filled with joy. When you think of brothers and sisters in Christ here in the church, is your heart filled with joy when you think of being with others here? It should be, because that's part of what the church is about, is to bring joy to each other, right? And to rejoice in being together, because we enjoy being together. And Paul did. He said, I long to be with you. I wished I could. And he said time and time again, he kept trying to get to them, but he said, Satan stopped me. For some reason, he was not permitted to go back to Thessalonica. As much as he'd longed to, Satan was prohibiting the return back to that city. But yet Paul's heart was still there, and even though he was separated from distance and miles, his presence was there in heart. Do you look forward on Sunday morning to get up and you come with anticipation because God's here, but also you're longing to be with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Isn't that a great experience? I mean, just enjoy hanging out together and worshiping God together. I love being with church people. I love because we have that common faith and that common love that binds us. That's part of what's so beautiful about the church, is the joy of being with each other. There's no other place I would rather be than with the church, with you and with God's people. Is that how you feel? That's the love that binds us together as one. That's how Paul felt. His longing for them. We enjoy being together, but we also enjoy growing together. And that's how we bring joy to each other. Not only just sharing in fellowship. That's why we do some of that. And that's fellowship, you remember, is one of our core values. And that's why we did the bus trip. And that's why we do picnics and Bible studies and things to bring us together in fellowship. Just to enjoy being with God's people. But we also enjoy growing together. And Paul said, you, when I think of the Thessalonians, he said, you are my joy. You are my crown. And that word crown there is the word that was used to describe what the prize that would be given at the end of a race. And Paul had in mind the Olympics, the ancient Olympic Games that were run in Athens. And he was riding back from there. And at the end of the Olympic Games, they would receive a crown of wreath, laurel wreath on their head. And Paul was reminding of that. He said, when I think of the crown, my trophy, he said, it's you. He said, it's the Thessalonians. He said, when I think back to your faith and see your faith and how you've grown in your life, he said, that brings me joy. What should bring us joy is when we grow together and we come together as a family and see each other growing in our development and our faith in Christ. One of my favorite movies, it's not my favorite, but one movie I enjoy is the movie Hook. If you've ever seen the movie Hook, it's about Peter Pan later in his life as he grows up and returns back to Neverland as an adult. And he goes back because Robin Williams plays a part of Peter Pan. And as he's grown older, he's grown up to be an adult, he's forgotten how to fly. He's forgotten his happy thoughts. And he's forgotten everything about what it meant for him to be Peter Pan. And he goes back and he encounters Captain Hook. And Captain Hook kidnaps his kids and holds them. And for Peter to try to rescue him, because Captain Hook wants to have this final battle with Peter Pan, thinking, well, I kidnap his kids, and then this is the way that he can come back in his final battle. Well, he's trying to learn how to fly and discover all this stuff again, and he can't. And he sees his son, and his son's being captured by Captain Hook, and he's screaming out for him, Dad, Dad, rescue me. And Peter Pan doesn't do anything. And Captain Hook decides he's going to try to get his son determined to like him. And eventually Peter Pan, towards the end, learns to fly again. But he discovered his happy thought. And he went back to his son and he said, I discovered my happy thought and I realized what it is. He said, it's you. It's you, my son. And that's what Paul was saying to the church at Thessalonians. You know, my happy thought is you. And he said, what gives me joy in my life? He said, is you, brothers and sisters in Christ, being together with my family, with those who I love, those who I care for. Why do we love the church so much? Because we bring joy to each other. We should. It should be an honor. It should be a joy and a privilege for us to gather together, to enjoy being together, to grow together in our faith, to walk with Christ as one. But the second reason why we love the church is because we encourage each other. Not only do we bring each other joy, but we bring each other encouragement. That's part of what the church is about. Back to that question earlier about people that say, I don't need the church, I can worship God by myself. What about when those hard times come? What about when those times of adversity come and you're out there by yourself and don't have anybody to come alongside of you to support you and to lift you up in your arms? Part of what the church is about is for us to care for and encourage each other, right? And Paul said, that's why I love the church so much. Notice what he said as we go into chapter 3. He said, so when I could stand it no longer, I longed to see you so much. He said, and we were torn away. I had to leave because I was driven out of town. But when I couldn't stand it anymore, I thought it was best that I be left by myself in Athens. And I sent Timothy, who is my brother, our brother and fellow servant, in spreading the word of God to strengthen and encourage you in your faith so that none of you would be unsettled by these trials. Paul was so concerned for the church at Thessalonica, knowing that he had to leave them. In some ways, he felt like he abandoned them. They were new in the faith. They were young, infant stage. And he was afraid they were on their own. And he wanted to encourage them. So he sent Timothy back. And he's writing. And what we learn is we can bring encouragement to one another is that God can use us to lift others up. Because Paul sent Timothy to the Thessalonians to be a source of encouragement to them. And that's why he sent them. And he sent Timothy. Paul was left by himself at this point. But he was thinking of the Thessalonians. And he sent Timothy to be a source of encouragement to them. God can use us as a way to lift others up and to encourage them. Because he couldn't get the Thessalonians out of his mind. He kept thinking about them. And he kept wondering how they were. Because like the Thessalonians, we all need encouragement, don't we? And that word encourage means to come alongside. It's that person that comes alongside and puts their arm around you and says, it's going to be okay. We can get through this. Or the person says, I'm praying for you. Or in the case of Jane Barnes, sends a card. And you know, that's a blessed source of encouragement if you receive those from her, isn't it? It's that pickup. And that's what we need of how God uses that simple thing that Jane does to encourage others. That's why we love the church. That's what it's about. to lift others up. Because like the Thessalonians, we all face an adversary. An adversary who is against us. Notice what he says here in verse 5 of chapter 3. He said, I sent for this reason, I could stand it no longer. I sent to find out about your faith, and I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you, and our efforts would have been useless. Paul said, like the Thessalonians, we all face an adversary. And he knew that the Thessalonians were facing a strong adversary. He knew what the persecution was that they were facing. It was because of persecution he was driven out of town. And he was afraid that when the persecution got tough and Satan, who was opposing them, that maybe some of the Christians here would fall away. And so he wanted to write to them to encourage them. He sent Timothy to help them and say, you know, yes, you got an adversary, but God is greater. And those times when we need to be reminded that we're in a battle, that we have an enemy against us, Satan, who tries to bring us down. And that source of encouragement to remind us that someone says, you know, greater is the one who's in us than the one who's in the world. And put on that armor of God and take our stand, because we have an adversary, but we have a greater God, don't we? Our enemy is powerful, but our God is greater. And we have that encouragement. And so that's why we need it. That's why God brings others along in our life to lift us up, because we all face that adversary. And his goal and his purpose, Jesus told us what his purpose was. His purpose is three things: to steal, kill, and destroy. And he'll, as much as he can, come in here and try to steal our joy, or steal your joy, to discourage you, to bring you down, to destroy our relationship with Christ, to do all he can to rob us. But greater is the one who's in us. And that's why we need encouragement, friends, because our adversary is strong, but our God is stronger. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the principalities in the heavenlies that fight against and war against our soul. And we see times when and one of George's main concerns, he reminds us every week in prayer meeting to pray for the persecuted church. And when we hear what Christians are facing around the world and the suffering and the persecution of Christians, which is increasing, we have an adversary. And we need to stand and support one another, because he is fighting against us. But our God is greater. That's why we need the church, friends. To come together like this, to be encouraged, to continue to fight the battle, right? Because, you know, it can get tiring fighting that battle and facing the adversary alone. And if we feel we're facing the adversary alone, it's easy for him. But when we come together, we're stronger. That's why we love the church. Because we all face an adversary, and we need to encourage each other. But we also, like the Thessalonians, we all face adversity. We all have hard times in our life. We have those times when we get the bad doctor's report, or we get the phone call that something changes our life in one day because we got a report from the doctor, something we never, ever expected. And everything changes. But Paul reminded him of that. And he said, that's why I wanted to encourage you and strengthen you in your faith, verse 3 of chapter 3. He said, so that you will not be unsettled by these trials. Because he said, you know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, he said, when I was with you, I kept telling you this, that you'd be persecuted. Paul said, he reminded them, he said, you knew when I was with you that we were going to experience persecution, that as Christians, we're not immune from it. As Christians, we're not immune from heartache. As Christians, we're not sheltered from adversity and trials. It's going to happen. We're going to experience those hard times, aren't we? We all do. None of us will escape them. And Paul sent Timothy to strengthen and encourage them in the midst of the adversity that they were facing. In the midst of the trials and persecution that the city, the Christians in Thessalonia were having from those who were opposing them and enemies of the gospel. And we all have times of adversity We need that person to come alongside us again and just say, I'm praying for you. That note, that card, that phone call, just the Christian love that we share, it lifts us up. We encourage one another because God can use us to lift each other up, and we all need it. And maybe you may not be going through a time of adversity right now, but somebody else in the church is. And God can use you to be a source of encouragement to lift them up. Or maybe God's taken you through a hard time in your life, that he's brought you through the other side. And someone else might be getting ready to go in that same experience. And you can share with them, you know, God took me through that. He brought me through. He did this for me. He can do it for you. Just hold on to him. Just look to him. It's the beauty of encouragement. That's why we love the church. That's why it's so important to us. Because God can use us, you and me, to lift others up. We're a family. We're a body. We care for each other. That's what it's about, right? But not only can God use us to lift others up, but can also work the other way around. That God can use others to pick us up. Because Paul sent Timothy to the Thessalonians to be a source of encouragement to them, but Paul was encouraged that when Timothy came back from the Thessalonians, they were a source of encouragement to him. Because Timothy came back with a report to Paul about how the church was doing and how the Thessalonians had grown in their faith and how they had grown strong and how they were remaining strong in the midst of persecution and how they were growing and they were faithful and they had not fallen away. They had become a strong, vibrant church. And when that news came back from Timothy to Paul, his heart was encouraged and he was lifted up and he was blessed by them as they encouraged him. And that's how encouragement in the body of Christ works. Because believe it or not, pastors, like everybody else, can face times of discouragement. Do you believe that? And Paul did. There's times, I confess to you, I do as well. You can't always be at the top sometimes. And we all go through times of discouragement. And Paul faced that. And he's sharing that here. He's being very honest with us as he's writing this letter. And he says, picking up in verse 6, he said, but Timothy has now come to us from you and has brought good news. And this was the encouragement to him. You brought me good news about your faith and your love. And that was encouragement to me. And he said, he has told us that you have always had pleasant memories of us and you long to see us just as much as I long to see you. Therefore, brothers, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. They became a source of encouragement to him, too. For now we really live since you are standing firm in the Lord. Because Paul said, I was afraid that some way the tempter might have tempted you. God can use others to pick us up because just like Paul, we all face fears. We all have things in our life that give us fear, that bring fear into our life. Maybe it's fear of we don't know, but things that can make us afraid. Like Paul had particular three of them. One of his fears was that he was afraid that false teachers might have come into the Thessalonian church and began to make them question Paul's authority. In chapter 2, verses 3 to 8, he refers to that. If you write that down, that was one of the fears he had, that false teachers were going to come into the church and maybe make the church question Paul and whether he was really true or not. He also had a fear, and did the Thessalonians now believe that his sole purpose to coming to them was personal gain? He addressed that in chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. He was afraid that, are they going to think that I just came here and brought personal gain and I left and I was only thinking I forsook them and I abandoned them, and they're going to think that I only just come to them for myself and didn't really care about them? And he was fearful of that. And he also was afraid if the persecution, the hardship that they were facing was going to make them fall away and give up on Christ. And he had those fears, and they were legitimate. And when Timothy came back to him, he was encouraged, and he found out that none of that was true. Anything that he was afraid of did not happen. And his faith was in. We all have fears too. Maybe it's fears of our health. Maybe it's fears financial or whatever, uncertainty. But in those times of fear, God can use others to help us through those times. We have a fear when we have a surgery. How's it going to go? Because that's part of the fear of the unknown and what's going to happen. And a lot of things that give us fear in our life. But the church together encourages one another through those times. Because like Paul, we all have fears, but also like Paul, we all face discouragement. And Paul had his discouraging times, and so do we. One of the biggest weapons that Satan likes to use against us as believers to steal our joy is discouragement, I believe. Because if he can get us discouraged, we become inactive. If he gets us discouraged, our spirits down, we don't have the joy, and it renders us ineffective for Christ. And Satan loves to get us to that point of discouragement. And he had Paul discouraged here, but it was when he heard the news from the Thessalonians, his heart was encouraged again by what God was doing in their lives. What discourages you? We all face it. But whenever you're discouraged, isn't it a blessing to know that someone's there with you and come alongside of you and say, you know, I'm with you. I've got your back. You can get through this. Keep going on. Keep your head up. Keep looking to Christ. Keep running the race. Because we all need that. We all need that. It's at that point in a marathon race where they call it hitting the wall, where the runner gets to that point where they feel they can't go any farther. They've given everything they have. And they feel like they just can't make it. But maybe then when they hit the wall and they see someone going by or someone gives them a word and said, just keep going. Keep your eye on the goal. Give them the strength to continue on through that pain to cross the finish line. When you or I are at that point where we feel like we're ready to hit the wall and we can't go any farther, that pat on the back, that card, that phone call, that encouraging word is enough to say, you know, just keep your eyes on the goal. Keep running the race. You'll get through this. I believe in you. I'm with you. That's why we love the church, right? It would be hard to go through those times by ourselves. I've often said, and you might have heard me say it, and I've seen the difference where I've had funeral services where I have funeral services where people all know Christ and the family all knows Christ, and I have funeral services where people did not and they were lost. And the difference is between night and day. Without Christ, without that body of Christ, without that encouragement, what do we have to hold on to? Nothing. But with Christ, we have not only him, we have the body of Christ and the family of the church gathered around us. It's that support of encouragement and love. Why do I love the church so much? Well, we bring joy to one another. We enjoy being together and growing together. But we also encourage each other and lift each other up and pick each other up through the hard and difficult times that come our way. Years ago, at Niagara Falls, two men were seen in a boat and found themselves caught in the current. If you've ever been to Niagara Falls, I've been there several times, especially towards the top of the river. You get caught in that before you get to the top of the falls. It's hopeless. But two men were caught in the current. The men jumped from their boat and swam for the shore. At last minute, ropes were thrown from the shore and were thrown out to them. One man grabbed a rope and he was pulled to the shore. The other man grabbed the rope, but at the same instant he saw a rope in his hand. He saw a log floating by him. So he thought, he let go of the rope, and you know what he did? He grabbed on to the log. It was a fatal mistake. And they were both thrown into immediate peril. But the man who was drawn to the shore was saved because he had the rope and was pulled safely to shore. The one clinging to the log was carried over the falls and killed. That's how it is with us, with the church. We have one another to pull each other through and to cast out that line, throw out the lifeline, the rope, and to pull one another to safety. And to hold up and bring each other through those hard times, because the church is the rope. It's that word that brings us encouragement, that brings us to one another. I had a personal experience like that myself whenever I was whitewater rafting at home down the Allegheny River, and my raft got tipped over, and all around me was white water, and I was floating down through the rapids, and all I could see was white. And the guide had a rope and thrown it and put it in my hand and pulled me to shore. I had experienced almost just like that. But to let go of the rope or to not grab a hold of it, we have the body of Christ to hold on to encourage us through. So we encourage one another. We bring each other joy. But Paul said there's a third reason why I love the church so much. And that is because we pray for each other. In the church, we support one another in prayer. We take time in our morning service to share prayer requests. And there's a reason we do that. It's not just to take time. We do that because we care for each other, and that we bring these concerns before one another in prayer and before our God, because we share those prayer concerns. And Paul said that's part of what we do. That's why he loved the church. And he goes on to say in chapter 3, verse 11, "Now may our God and Father himself and the Lord of our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. And may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as he does for you. And may he strengthen your heart so that you will become blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when he comes with all his holy ones." That's his prayer. And he says, "Night and day," verse 10, "we pray earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith." As a church, we pray for one another, and we pray with fervent passion. Paul said when he prayed for the Thessalonians, he prayed night and day for them. Now, that wasn't an emphasis of time. It didn't mean that he got up in the morning and the evening, and it was in the morning and the evening when he would pray for them. He meant that was a reference to fervency and passion. Men, when he prayed for the church, he prayed with passion and fervency for one another. When we pray for each other in the church, we're to pray with fervent passion and heartfelt love for one another. Not just, "Lord, bless them," but that fervency, because we really care and we're bringing those concerns before the Father. Fervency, passion, but he also prayed with a specific focus. He didn't say, "Lord, just bless the church at Thessalonica. Just be with those people over there. I'm here and I wish I could be with them. And Lord, just bless them over there." And so often, and I can be guilty of that at times, where I pray specifically. I mean, we pray just generally. "Lord," just a general prayer request. But God wants to be specific in our prayers and to be focused. And as we pray for one another and bearing those burdens that we heard earlier in the service and others that we bring into our life, that we become aware of as we pray for one another, pray with specific focus that God will not just heal, but be specific in how we want God to do what he wants him to do. Because Paul was specific as he prayed for Thessalonians. He didn't say, "Just bless them, Lord." But he had four specific prayer requests for them. One was he prayed for spiritual growth. He said, "Night and day, we pray more earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith," he says in verse 10. He said, "I pray that what is lacking in your faith you will continue to grow in." As a church, we need to pray for each other for spiritual growth. And I ask you, do you pray when you pray for your brothers and sisters in the church here, do you pray that God will enable them to grow spiritually? We need to. We need to pray for the spiritual growth of the church, for ourselves and for one another. And Paul said, "Lord, whatever's lacking in the Thessalonians, what they still need in you, supply that for them. Continue to help them to grow in their faith, to become more like you." And we all need that prayer in our life for spiritual growth, vibrancy in our faith. But also he was specific and he prayed for open doors, because he said, "Lord, I pray as well that the door would be opened." He said, "More earnestly, that I may see you again." He wanted to see them again, and the way would be open somehow that he could go back to Thessalonica and be rejoined to them again, because he longed for them so much. And he prayed for opportunities, open doors. And as we pray for one another, we need to pray for opportunities as well, that God would give us opportunities for him to expand his kingdom, to share his faith, opportunities for his will to be done, and for the church to advance. But he also prayed for them with focus for increased love, that their love would increase. Verse 12, he says, "May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other." Now, the church at Thessalonica, they had a lot of love for each other. They loved each other, and Paul loved them. But Paul said, "Lord, I pray that their love will continue to increase. Their love for Christ and their love for each other." And as you and I pray for one another within the church, that needs to be part of our prayer for each other as well, that our love would increase, that we would love Jesus more deeply and more passionately every day, that our love for him would increase, and that our love for one another would increase too, that we love each other more and love as Christ loved us, to continue to grow in that love. And he prayed for spiritual strength. And he said, "I pray," in verse 13, "that he may strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus Christ comes on all his holy ones." Paul knew that the church at Thessalonica was facing persecution, and he knew that they needed strength to endure the hardship that was coming their way. And so he prayed that God would give them the strength. Pray when you know a brother or sister in Christ, and the prayer request we've heard this morning for Doris, for Gary, for others, for Jenna's future father-in-law, for strength for them, especially you know they're going through hard times and treatments, praying for strength spiritually, physically, praying that God would give us the strength that we need for when it comes our way, spiritual and physical strength. Turn with me to Ephesians in closing, Ephesians chapter 2, because I want to share with you another prayer that Paul prayed for the church, this time at Ephesus, where we see his heart, and his heart was expressed through his prayers. We see these same four specific prayer requests that he prayed for the Thessalonians being prayed for the Ephesians. A good guidance from God saying, this is how we're to pray for one another in the same way. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. Sorry, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, whom the whole family in heaven and earth derives its name." Here's his prayer. "I pray," verse 16, "that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and high and long and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you be filled to the full measure of the fullness of God." You see the same four things: increased love, spiritual growth, open doors, and strength. And that's how God wants us to pray for one another. So why do we love? Why is it important to us? Why do we come together each week? Because we bring each other joy. It's a joy of gathering together with God's people. I love the thrill. The Gaithers had a song. "I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people." We encourage one another and help each other through the difficult times. And we pray for one another and bear each other's burdens as we bring them before the Father. That's why I love the church. And I pray that's why you do as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your church, your people, and the privilege of being a part of your family. That, Lord, you brought us together as a family to bring joy to one another, to encourage each other, to pray for one another, to be that source of encouragement and strength. As a family of God, we journey together and do this Christian life together, run the race as your people together. You never intended it to be by ourselves. We become a part of your church, the people of God around the world, part of your family. So thank you, Lord, for this church, our local church here, a local part of your body worldwide. And Lord, may our love for you and one another increase. Give us, Lord, the strength that we need through the battles that we face, either against our adversary or the adversities that come our way. Lord, may each day we continue to become more like you, that we be filled with what is yet lacking in us and become to more like Jesus. And Father, that we, when we think of one another, whether we're together or throughout the week, and we think of another member of the church, that we have a smile come to our face and we have a thought of joy and not like, oh, but we have that joy when we think of each other because of what the church means to us and your family. So, Father, thank you that you love the church, you redeemed the church, you bought us with your blood, establishing us as your people. And Lord, may our love for your church and your people continue to grow stronger as we walk with you every day. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.